Our teaching, our thanks and joy in the Lord. Our thanks and joy in the Lord. You know, it's very important to learn to be thankful with the Lord and what he does and he does through us and all that we meet day by day, whether it appears to be positive or negative. Everything that our walk consists of has to go through God's approval before ever it's to be executed in this life. God is in such control that we know that we're always in his sight, we're never out of it, but that everything has to pass him first before he will decide whether that experience, that trial, that blessing, that delay in faith, whatever it will be, is all for the purpose of his glory and to build our faith and to be blessed in this life. And the Lord wants us to learn this one, because when you learn this, you then find that you're able to count it all joy in whatever you go through, whatever the trials, whatever the testing. You know every time that God has allowed or permitted this for a reason. And I will come through whatever this trial or situation that I'm going through. And sometimes they can be long. You see, God knows us so well. He knows us infinitely better than we know ourselves. No psychiatrist gets anywhere near God's understanding of his people and of you. And you can be well assured in your salvation that God has always gone before and prepared the way. And that is why it never takes him by surprise, even though it does us. And this is why we walk by faith, because we don't know what lies behind the next corner. But we always have the assurance that God has gone before, and he wants you to know that. He wants that to drop from the head to the heart. And often we don't always fully understand or appreciate this because we're so consumed in the trial. And we struggle even to try and keep our eyes on the Lord or on his word or get into prayer. And this, of course, is why the devil attacks like he does. His attacks, especially when we go through a trial or a testing, is to take our eyes, our heart, off God, off his word. He tries to stop us praying because he then knows we become inward looking and looking to self. That is always what he tries to do with us. He tries to bring you back the life that you hadn't walked before you became a Christian, before you gave your life and heart to the Lord. He's always trying to bring us back to the old ways, to the old thinking, to all the fears and anxieties and frustrations and disappointments and rejections and depression, all that life throws at us. He tries to remind us of all of that. He's trying to bring us back down onto his level. And that is why our salvation and our baptism in the Holy Spirit is so powerful, because it enables us to walk above these situations. And we walk above them when we meet the conditions of being in the Word, in prayer, coming together, listening to the word, fellowshipping, all of those things that God asks us to do. And it is a good reason why he asks us to do this, in order for what we face each day in life. And when we begin to grasp this one, then our thanks and joy starts in the Lord. We don't thank God for the sickness, but we thank God in the trial, or whatever it would be. And why do we thank him? For what is going to be produced in us. Your trials are so tailor-made that it is recreating the life of Christ in each of us. That is why God permits and allows these things, because he will see his image, his face in us. The one who has overcome all things. The one who has triumphed. That is what he's working within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when you begin to grasp this, then you understand what the joy of the Lord is, and to count it all joy, whatever is happening, no matter what it feels like or whatever is attached to it, we see something far greater and stronger at work. And that's why we walk by faith, because that's what faith believes and reaches out to. You see, God hasn't saved us for a walk with him to be a drudge. All trial, all testing. That's not what we are saved for. We are, of course, saved by his mercy and grace, but also for a relationship. And it's a relationship that is based on a blessing. The greatest blessing. It's a relationship that is so infinitely great that at times you cannot put it into words. And the enemy would try to rob you of this. He'd try to rob you with that simple relationship and childlike faith that we're to have with God. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what they think of us. Peculiar, strange, or whatever it would be, we are God's peculiar treasure. It doesn't matter what man thinks. It's what God thinks. That's all that matters. And he will work with us in which to make us sensitive to his will, his purpose, his plan, and what he thinks. You see. Our life and everything we say, we do, should always first be for him and his glory. That's why he says in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understandings, in all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Man's got nothing to do with that. That is between you and God. As he leads and guides and directs your path. Otherwise, you are not going to understand what the joy of the Lord is. And I see at times too many miserable looking Christians. I see more joy and happiness in the world than I do at times in the house of God. It's not a good witness. And the way the Lord works this joy within us, it's not that we go around with a smile on our face 24/7. It's a being before God. There is about that saint a confidence a peace. There is the fruit of the Spirit. There is that love, that joy. They're not reacting by things or what they hear, but they are men and women who act by faith because they know that God is in control. They don't run before the Lord because a trial comes. They wait. They wait on the Lord. They are looking to Him. Everything flows from Him. It's as natural as breathing. You don't have to work and strive at this, because if you are, then something is wrong. And God is telling you, He's trying to get your attention. If you see a continuation of something that keeps popping its head up periodically, then that's a sign God's getting your attention. Something isn't right. It's not glorifying God. And that's where He makes us sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Some Christians go through trial after trial after trial, and they are failing to hear what God is really saying. You see, you can use the word, oh, I'm counting it all joy. I'm going through this trial. The Lord's allowing me to go through it. Absolutely right. But the Holy Spirit has to inspire that to you. That is not you using the word of God, because you're not hearing what God is saying to you. And there's a difference. And I've heard Christians who use the word of God in a sort of religious way, but not really hearing what the Lord is saying to them, because there's pride there, resistance, and so on. We've had it in our assembly, and some are no longer with us, and they become offended. This is why we walk humbly before God. And when we walk humbly before Him, if God is getting our attention with things, then we hear. And through that hearing, the word of God brings that deliverance, that change, that different mindset, and so on. This is how we grow deeper with God. And this always produces that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're rejoicing because you know the touches of God in your life. You know how He's changing you from glory into glory. I'm aware of God's working in my life. And it brings within you that praise and that worship and a thankful heart, because you know you can't do that. Only He can do that by His love. So this walk isn't a drudge, even though He might for a season be dealing with us or even chastening us. It's always for a purpose of which God is going to bring healing and deliverance and blessing. Let's turn to Matthew 11, 25 to 30. Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And here it speaks about this joy that we have and how we get this by our true rest that we have in the Lord. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So there you are. It's whom the Son reveals. And if you are being shown, it's being revealed to you, then that is a sign you have been chosen before the foundation of the world. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I know we've spoken on this many times, but it's just one word, come. He says, come to me. And when you come to him, then you begin to get that joy, the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Instead of this walk being a drudge, a burden, that is not what you're saved for. That's not what relationships are about, and certainly with your Heavenly Father. Relationships should be a blessing, a joy. And we have to learn these, of course. And this is what is missing so much in marriages, and sadly in Christian marriages. There's not that blessing, that joy. There's not that joy and blessing coming from your spouse. And you have to seek the Lord, because otherwise the marriage becomes a burden, a drudge. You just function in it. And marriage isn't for functioning. It's for joy. It's a blessing with Christ to be head. And the marriage is to be fruitful. And it's exactly the same with the bride as she makes herself ready. There should be a joy, a blessing, an expectation in the house of God as she's making herself ready, as she's being equipped by the power of the Spirit in which to do it. We should enjoy his Spirit and his presence in our life and in our meetings. His blessings are to give us joy and pleasure before him. And that's why he blesses us. And that's why he provides for us. So that we can be blessed, so that we can offer it back to him in praise and in thanksgiving, you see. A lot of Christians are not blessed financially because they've lost the vision, the heart, to give God all the praise and all the thanks and all the glory. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes, because this has some things to say with regard to this. For example, let's turn to Ecclesiastes 5. And verses 18 to 20, Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 20, he says here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of his labor in which he toils under the sun, and the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labour, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Wow. Did you know that God can keep you busy with the joy of the Lord, with all that he's blessed and is blessing you with? I don't know about you, but I really want to have that joy that in my heart that keeps me busy, that gives it all back to him, and not this drudge that so many seem to think this walk is about. It's not. Every meal that is on my table is a gift from God. Every bill that I'm able to pay is a gift from God. The very roof over my head is a gift from God, and praise and worship him with it. For all is the Lord's. Give thanks with a grateful heart, the word of God tells us. Let's couple that with 1 Timothy. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And he says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And so it goes on. So that, did you know that that is instructions to those who have been blessed with wealth? We tend to think that the gospel is only just for the poor, the destitute, and so on. No, it isn't. That is instructions there to those who do have wealth and what they should do with it. You see? God doesn't miss anyone out. Some of the patriarchs in the Old Testament were very wealthy, but they knew where it had come from. They knew that God had blessed them with it, and they were to bless others as well, in which they did. That's why I never throw the baby out with the water with regards to the abundant life. This is toxic amongst a lot of Christendom. They attack it big time about prospering, and they've got it completely wrong. They're not understanding that if you do prosper, if you are blessed, or if you are wealthy, then you give God the glory. It's all that he has given, and you bless others with it. You see, they never tell that one. They leave that out. And I know what comes behind all of this, a lot of it, where they attack it, is jealousy. That's a lot what is behind it. They're resentful. They're bitter. Because God is trying to get to things in their life that they are rejecting and ignoring God. This is why God wants us to be thankful, to give him the praise and all the glory, to be a grateful and thankful people. Even in the good times and even in the bad times, whatever season we go through. Because it's Romans 8:28, every time, that all things work together for good. But we forget those things, don't we? Let's turn back to Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24, Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw was from the hand of God. So whatever God has blessed you with, or whatever job you have, or whatever skills that you have, you glorify God with it. And you work well, because you're working unto the Lord, you see. And God says there's nothing wrong with that. Enjoy the good of your labour. I've given it to you as a gift, as a blessing, you see. And we all of us have different gifts and different abilities that are God-given. And we glorify him in these things. That's why some are good at building, some mechanics, some bankers or lawyers or whatever it would be. We do it unto the Lord every time. What does it say in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 13? And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. Note what it says. It is the gift of God. And when God gives you a gift, you give it back to him to glorify his name. The same as you give yourself back as a living sacrifice. Everything that he gives comes back to him for his glory. It is not for us to become fat on and gluttonous and selfish. Not at all. We do everything for the joy of the Lord. Our life is a living sacrifice consecrated to him, giving him back all the glory and the praise. You see, by working and being spiritually active is important because faith is active. And so being active in what God has blessed us with enables our faith also to be active. Because we're told that without works, it is dead. Now, it's not our works that justifies, it is our faith. But our faith is to produce those works. Our faith is to be active. And in what he's blessed us or at work or whatever it is, we are acting our faith. Whatever we're doing, it's an act of faith. Our very walk is an act of faith. It is, if they're particularly, if somebody hasn't walked for a very long time, then that requires more faith in the name of Jesus to get up and walk. But it is still faith. Everything we're doing is believing unto the Lord. What does it say in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 22? So I perceive that nothing is better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage, for who can bring him to see what will happen after him? So he says, it's good. It's our heritage. It's what God has blessed us with. Sometimes we're not aware of what God has blessed us with. We're not looking, we're not seeing. You may be feeling, well, I don't know, I'm listening to all of this, but I don't see much going on in my life. It could be that you're not thankful and that you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord because you're not returning it back to him. You see, we have to acknowledge the fact we can do nothing without Jesus Christ. And that is why Christ is being formed in us, for that very purpose. He now is doing the works through us, using our abilities, using our personality, using us who are made in his image. The greater works that the world is to see from the sons of God, Romans 8, are the works of the Spirit. This is why Jesus left the comfort of the Holy Spirit to continue his ministry on the earth, because he said, you will go on to do greater and better things than I. It is a continuation of him working through us, working through the church, his body. We've got it all wrong. We're taking the glory. We think we're doing it. It's all in my strength, my ability. It's not. This is why often I say God calls you to do things you cannot do in yourself. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. And we have to learn this one. And then we start to give thanks. Then the joy of the Lord starts to rise up in and through us, because that gives him all the glory and all the praise. In weakness, we are made strong. The Apostle Paul labored that one in his ministry and what he had to go through. He could never have gone through what he did. Very, very few believers will ever go through what the Apostle Paul went through. He learnt that he was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. He lived and walked by the power of Christ living in him. And that is what gives God all the praise and all the glory and the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, which is your strength, comes through weakness. And very often, this is why God brings us to the end of ourselves. I was only ministering to a saint today. I've come to the end. And I didn't say this, but in my prayers, I thought, praise God. This is now where this saint is at their strongest. Reveal that to them, Lord. Reveal your strength. Make it perfect in weakness to them. They're the prayers that you pray, particularly when you see a brother or sister who's coming to the end. They're at their weakest. That is where you can pray such powerful prayers. Not, oh Lord, bless them, be with them, comfort them. That's all you ever hear coming out of Christians. And that has a place. No. Lord, reveal yourself in this deep trial. Help them to draw from the resurrected Christ who now lives in them. Give them the power and strength that raised Christ from the dead, also raising them up now in glory. Do you think God is going to turn a deaf ear to prayers like that? Not at all. That is the will of God, that we pray one for another like this, or for a situation, or somebody who asks for prayer, or whatever it would be. But you know, you can only often pray those prayers like that when you too have gone through a similar situation. When you have come to a place where you can only cry out like Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's then at that point God meets with you. Why does he do this? Why does he take us right to the end so that we get out of the way and the Spirit can take over? That's why. And God knows exactly how far to allow us to be tried and tested. He will never, ever let you go under. He will have you completely safe in his hands, in his arms. It will feel as though you're going under. It will feel as though the whole world has ended. It will feel as though nobody understands me. All have forsaken me. I am completely on my own. These were all experiences our Lord went through, the apostle went through, and you have gone through or will go through. But God is there, and he's teaching us to be thankful. He's showing us the joy of the Lord is our strength. As I close, I know I've shared this testimony before, but I will share it again because it is so powerful. A sister, I believe in Faith Assembly, years and years back, her husband died. They're all believers. And the following day, I believe her son, he was killed. And she said, I was completely out of my mind. There was nothing. But she said something within me that I had learned. And she said, I just raised my hands before God and began to speak in the spirit in tongues. And she said, after about 10 minutes, the peace of God just flooded her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And she was able to count it all joy and praise God. You see, you have to hear those testimonies of the power of what God can and does through us, through our weakness. And that is why the apostle said, in my weakness, I am strong. And hold on to that, because we don't know what we go through. We don't know what lies around the corner. We don't know what next week or next year holds if the Lord tarries. But one thing we do know, we give thanks and we praise God and we allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength, because you cannot go wrong in this walk. You have already won the victory. It was won at Calvary. Never forget that. So there we are, brothers and sisters, our thanks and joy in the Lord. Hallelujah.